Hello again, everyone. This is Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network, and this is the Green Lines Podcast. Every one of these podcasts is produced to help you live an abundant life. Jesus said, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." I want that, don't you? The Lord has led us to produce over 1,100 episodes of this show with interviews from authors, pastors, teachers, business owners, and even noted musicians and worship leaders. All of this is done with a prayer and belief that we're not to live a life of scarcity. Let me say that again. We are not to live a life of scarcity. We're to live a life of abundance every day of our life. Live in abundance. That's what this show's about. And today's episode features a guest who offers a new perspective on abundant living. Well, it's that time of month where I get to welcome back my friend, my colleague, someone I respect so mightily. Rabbi Kurt Landry's with us, and I always look forward to this one interview as being the highlight of my month, and today is no different. Rabbi, welcome back to the Green Lines Podcast.
Dr. Green, thank you so much. I love doing these, I got to tell you. And I love the response from the audience. And, you know, it's not just historic what we're doing, but it's really every time we come together as Jews and Gentiles, where you're having Christian organizations like Charisma actually, you know, bringing back the revelation of the Jewish roots of the faith, the Hebraic roots, is so important. Because right now, there's such a battle in the cancel culture to remove the history of the United States, to remove the history of the Bible, the Constitution, to remove the history of truth, to be able to reset a narrative. And so I just really thank you and thank Charisma for actually highlighting the fact that there are Hebraic roots of the faith and how important it is for the identity and the purpose of Christians to be able to rise up and stand for those in this hour.
Yes, sir. And I think that that hits right in the middle of where we're going to be speaking today and our topics. But first, I want to congratulate you on the Passover cover story on Charisma Magazine just out. And I'm so excited to have you on the cover. I had nothing to do with it, but I respect the people who made the decision. And I'm really glad to see you on Charisma Magazine, sir.
Oh, listen, you know, I'm just kind of shocked with it. You know, I miss, you know, but the timing of it, I'll tell you why I'm so encouraged. It's not really even about me and the ministry. It's about the message. The fact that you have a Christian organization that is actually saying, listen, we think it's important enough to actually, let's talk about Passover as Christians and putting it, and not saying, so to say, burying it under the whole Easter. Listen, the power of Resurrection Sunday is where the power of everything that we preach and minister.
Everything.
To. Everything. But
that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
it's not enough just to know him. He wants to know the power. How many people come to you and say, Rabbi, help me understand the power of the resurrection?
Yeah. Well, the key to the power of the resurrections is the preparation for the resurrection and the preparation for the death, which came in the four cups of Passover. See, he was at the third cup of Passover, which is the cup of redemption. Okay. So he was at the third cup and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And a lot of people, you know, they confuse the Last Supper and Passover, but the Last Supper was Passover.
Yes. That's good. That's a good separation. Why don't you say that again so we make sure all of our listeners take that note?
Okay, so the Last Supper, as we know it, okay, the Last Supper was a Passover table. Jesus celebrated Passover every year of his life. But yet, the preparation for his death was the Passover table.
Amen. Well, I just want to get a little more personal with you and sneak back over to the cover topic and ask you what it means to you personally. I mean, you've been around a while, you're well respected, your name that opens a lot of doors, even in Israel and Jerusalem, wherever you go, you're pretty well known and a significant figure. What does it mean to you personally and to your ministry to be on the cover of Charisma?
Well, for us, it's a milestone in the sense that I can remember receiving, I subscribed to Charisma Magazine back when I first got saved in the early years. And, And I always saw that, and I would see the cover story, and listen, I never had aspirations when I first got saved to be in ministry. I always thought I was going to be like apostolic in business. That's what I did. 96, the Lord took me out of business and into full-time ministry. But I always respected Charisma Magazine and always thought, for me, that's kind of like it's an arrival point, or so to say, kind of like if you were an actor, you know, to get an Emmy or something. I know it's not that level, but that's kind of how it feels to me. It feels like a recognition.
Well, some people have to die to get on the cover. So you didn't have to do that. Look at it that way. You're recognized while you're living and still ministering and still doing all the great work for the things that you do are being recognized and written about. And I'm so proud of Charisma for noting that about you and your work.
Yeah, well, it's very humbling, but it's also very timely that, you know, with the battle, anti-Semitism has increased really in the last 12 months, 24 months around the world. Some places it's doubled in hate crimes. And so to be able to take a bold stance and say, now, wait a minute, let's look at that Jesus was the Jewish Messiah. And Jesus was the Lamb of God of Passover. And, you know, and there would, you know, the Easter celebration that all Christians love to celebrate, there would be no Easter without a Passover and vice versa. So I think that, it's part of revealing the truth. You know, when Jesus said the famous words, and the truth will set you free. I think that's what I think the timing of it this year, 2022, the double portion. Yeah, I'm just humbled and honored. I'm not real comfortable talking about like myself and like the things we do. I was raised kind of old school, like let your actions speak louder than your words. And so, yeah, I thank you. And
I think that you didn't say anything, that your actions were written about by others who respect you. And it's a tough get. Not just everybody gets on the cover of Charisma. So it's not meant to be a trophy. It's just meant to be a recognition of the work you've done. And we want every reader of Charisma to know about your work.
Yeah. Well, I would encourage everyone to read the article too, because to be honest with you, when Megan came to me, who's the CEO of House of Kurt Landry Ministries, and Megan Marcelino, when she came and she said, listen, they want a cover story for this. My initial thing was, oh my gosh, we're really going to have to work this thing through. And, you know, listen, on my book, Reclaiming Our Forgotten Heritage, 9 rewrites with, So I really I immediately went there. So anyway, in the office that I'm in here, my office at home, which is a studio, specifically separate from the house. And I sat down in my chair and she sat at the laptop. And Dr. Green, I got to tell you, almost the first take, that article just flowed right.
Well, now. I would hope so, since the topic is kind of familiar to you and you know a thing or two about a thing or two. It should flow pretty easily. But you also are wordsmith and pretty picky, as you should be, because you're protecting a lot of what others think about you across the world.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say, listen, I don't know what they changed, but it was probably in the upper 90% of not being edited at all. It just kind of flowed out. It was flowing
so good.
In the place of being. Listen, I don't know how many Passovers we've done. I don't have a clue. 100, you know, because I do multiple ones, and so it's not every year. So I don't know, but I do know this, that out of all the feasts we do, my favorite feast to do is Passover.
And yes, sir. I know that.
You know, and listen, it's such a way, we have a 6-year-old granddaughter, and the fact that she can actually, she'll say stuff about Passover, things that she's learned. She's only, let's face it, probably since she was 4 or 5, remembering. And there's a great way to impart to children the truth about their heritage through Passover. And in fact, if they we have a new Passover children's book. It just came from the printers this week. And I would recommend people to order it. Go to kurtlandry.com. It's a great book. I mean, the 6-year-old granddaughter, she went and to with friends on spring break, and they were in the back of the SUV reading the Purim book.
You can't make that happen, Rabbi. Not even your grandfatherly name can make that happen. They do it because they want to.
Yeah. So we had an eight-year-old, 7-year-old, and our granddaughter at 6. These are friends that are House of David kids that she's grown up with. And they're in the back seat reading the Purim story, literally in the car, going, yay for Mordecai and Esther, and boo for Haman, in the back seat. They sent me the video, and I'm thinking, you know, this is what it's
all about. Did you cry? Come on, Papa. Did you cry?
Yeah. This story in the article, listen, it's really good. And I think it's good because I think it's inspired of the Holy Spirit.
So what are some of the benefits of Christians? We've talked about some other and how it affects you and your family and seeing those little ones begin to get it. What about Christians in regards to educating themselves about Passover? Many Christians would probably flunk a test that you would write for us.
Okay, so I'm going to personalize it to my family and then some the core of House of David. Understanding we've been a congregation 23 years. The leadership at House of David, Pastor Tim and Sandy, have been with us 23 years. It's very strange to have, you know, a rabbi and a pastor together for 23 years. You know, you're in the church. And but I can tell you this is that we really don't fight for our identity. We know we're different. Uh-huh. We know we're different. It's okay. But we're not. We don't battle for our identity. And I think one of the reasons is in all the feasts, but particularly Passover, is that you understand that you got a word from God that the death angel's coming, judgment. It's not about you. Go into your house, bring the lamb in the house, put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, go in, and the blood of the lamb is going to basically select you and protect you from the death angel that's passing through Egypt in that season of time. And that's what people need to know now. People need to know now, Psalm 91, that they need to know that they're protected. They need to know no weapon formed against them. They need to even know in their
finances. No pestilence.
Yeah, their finances as they, you know, as they tithe an offering according to biblical finance, all that stuff. They need to understand that yes, inflation, yes, there's wars and rumors of war, but they need to not let the enemy steal their peace.
Amen. So you've been doing this for those 23 years, educating the church about Passover. I want to hear about your personal experience. Talk to me as a man of God, yes, but also personally how it affects your relationship with the Lord and how it affects you as a rabbi.
Well, for me, there are resets in your cycles of your habits and patterns. Okay. So you are a product of your habits and patterns. So, and understanding, listen, I have a corporate background in behavioral training. And so a lot of times I think what I'm saying sounds like a life coach. And if it does, it's because I am. I'm speaking to them literally. I was never a life coach, but I was a corporate executive that was responsible for maintaining culture and behavior. So what happens is you have to merge the people. The people need to not only follow the culture of the corporation, but they also need to identify it with it. And that's the same thing with God. You have to identify with his kingdom and then identify as a son and daughter and not a stranger and not an orphan. And so one of the things that, like, every time, you know, Passover is a type of new year, a biblical new year. And so what happens is, okay, Lord, what did I learn from the last Passover to this one? Like, the theme for this Passover at House of David is it's time to come home. And so what does that mean? That's Psalm 23. Psalm 23, where it says, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it says, for the Lord's rod and his staff, meaning it's his instruction and authority, you know, shall comfort thee. And then it says, but the Lord shall prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies. That table is Passover. And so table, the Passover is a reset. And you know, the first cup is healing. The next cup is sanctification. I'm sorry. The first cup is sanctification. The next one's healing. The third one's redemption. And the fourth one's praise. So asking me what does that mean personally? What I do is I basically sanctify. I thank the Lord for the past year, but I sanctify, meaning I separate from its successes and failures, and I embrace the new. Okay. Over the year, Dr. Green, this has been a very great year, but a tough year. I need healing. I need that second cup. So any type of healing in my body, you know, stomach issues, heart, I'm not saying I have any of those, but whatever it is, I need to be healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Okay. The redemptive side of it is that I need to know that I'm part of the family, and that and in the there's nine blessings in Passover and Exodus, and I need to know that the Lord's and my enemies are the Lord's enemies, and vice versa, that he's going to protect and provide for me. And then the fourth cup is the cup of praise, and that cup of praise is a sealing. So there's a time when you actually seal it. So for me personally and my family, we actually do what I call a reset at Passover. And you have a whole week to do that. You get the leaven out, which is symbolic of sin. You cleanse the house, you prepare the house, you fill the house, and then you send the house. And so that's kind of what it means to me.
That's a good word. And that's worth listening to over and over again. That'll really help all of us. Let's go to the New Testament and give us a little bit of insight in what the Bible teaches about celebrating Passover as it relates to the New Testament.
Well, when the Lord celebrated Passover, all the apostles celebrated Passover. But I think the biggest thing that Jesus said, when you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. And that's an identity statement. He's saying, you need to understand that your redemptive cup, your salvation comes from me. And I am the Passover lamb. See, I think some people don't understand that if you look at the, let's do a time chain on this. So you have Passover coming. Jesus is 33 years old, okay? And he's traveling into Jerusalem, okay? And he's heading into Jerusalem at Passover to celebrate Passover. And this is when he's arrested. Okay. And the reason they had to crucify him when they did is they had to crucify him before the Sabbath of Passover. So literally, why Jesus is hanging on a cross, visualize this. You have the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, on a cross. Okay. His feet are nailed to the cross. His arms are spread out, nailed out. Okay. And so he's spread out, arms right and left, feet. And he's spread on the cross, and he's saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. At the same time they're doing that, all over Israel in the Jewish homes, they have a lamb that has literally been on a spit. Okay, so the lamb has a rod or a stick up its spine. The arms are spread out to open the cavity. It's being cooked over fire, and the entrails of the lamb are wrapped at the chop like a crown. So there is literally the way they celebrated Passover. While Jesus, the Passover lamb, is on the cross, the Passover lambs are being lifted up all over the nation.
Yes, good word. So how do we make that real in our homes? How do we pass it on? How do we understand communion? I've been in churches that felt like communion should be every Sunday. I know men and women of faith that have communion every day in their home. I've been moved by those who think it becomes too rote to do it that frequently, that it should be special and we should only do it a few times a year. Where do you fall on it? How can you inform that for us, help us to get it?
Well, first of all, I would just follow your leading in the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit, you know, one of the names of Jesus, Yeshua, is he is the high priest of your sanctuary. Your body is the sanctuary of the Lord. And if the Holy Spirit thinks that your sanctuary needs communion, I would follow that absolutely. I would not do anything like in rote or make it legalistic. You know, one of the best ways is if they go to kurtlandry.com/ the Passover story, answers to your Passover questions. Okay, I'm going to say that again. You'll find it. If you go to KurtLandry.com, you'll find it there, but it's KurtLandry.com/ the Passover story, answers to your Passover questions. All these questions and many, many more are there for a free download.
I know you've got a virtual Passover experience available. How do you connect us to that? I really wanted to hear about that.
Yeah, that will be on that. So our schedule is that Passover 2022, 5782, is Friday, April the 15th. And you can go to KurtLandry.com and you can, you don't have to register, but that will start at 7 p.m. Central Time. And then for those who are coming, then we have an immersion on Saturday. And then Sunday morning, which will be Resurrection Sunday, we'll actually be having a Resurrection Sunday service on that Sunday. And I believe that's at 10 o'clock. So one of the things that's interesting, Dr. Green, is like those that are like going to live stream and virtually join us, it's very impactful to actually travel the Passover journey with us in House of David. You know, you're going to be having a virtual experience with like roughly 400 plus people in a full sit down, and we'll be going through it together. We'll have all nine time zones. Most of the nations of the earth will be watching and agreeing with the decrees over every cup. And then the next day we're going to have an immersion, and I'll explain to them why they need to actually water baptize immersion on that day, and then releasing the power of the resurrection and releasing, empowering the nine gifts of the Spirit on Sunday. For those who will dedicate those 3 days, I promise you, you will not come out the other side of this experience the same.
Okay, connect us to that experience. Give us the URLs, the websites. How can we find it?
Okay, so what they need to do is they need to go to www.KurtLandry.com. Okay, and when they do, you're going to see an events button. Just go to the events button and everything is right there. And then if they want the free download, then they can go to KurtLandry.com, the Passover story, answers to your Passover questions. And as soon as they start to type that in, it will like fill in, okay? And then they'll get the answer. So what I would recommend them to do is to do that. Also, what else they can do is we have a book. I have a book that we've written on the fall feast. And then I have a book we've written on the spring feast. I would go ahead and get both of those, the spring and the fall, because they're connected together. Listen, these are beautifully well-done books, but they're workbooks. So I'd go to KurtLandry.com and order your Passover book. So if they'll order the Passover, they'll have to purchase that. It's not expensive, but it's a great investment. These are tools. Listen, our whole ministry is not about Judaizing or trying. Our goal is we are Jews that believe in Jesus. And what we're trying to do is we're a bridge so that the church and Christians can say, why is it that we should understand the Hebraic roots of the faith? This Passover book is all about that. Listen, it will enrich your identity, which empowers your purpose, which changes your destiny, which releases your blessing of inheritance, of favor, and then gives you a legacy to leave. You know, how different would your home be? Like in our house, everyone in our neighborhood where we live in a really small community. Everyone here knows that we celebrate Shabbat. I mean, the whole neighborhood knows. You don't go to the Landry's or bother them. It's Shabbat. Because we've been here, 8 years where we live, and everyone knows, like, we're the Shabbaters. And isn't that, you know, but we're also the Passoverers. And it's great. It's like it's just like this is how we live. But when they see us prospering, and the biggest thing, it is not about money prospering. Yes, you can be blessed. It's about the joy of the Lord. And they see that. And we always really bless the poor with special offerings at Passover. And listen, it's not about how much money you have and possessions. It's about how much you give. It's about the difference that you're making in the world. If people really want pure joy, then you need to become a giver.
Come on. Rabbi, it's such an honor to be with you. I use the word honor again. It's never lightly used. I mean it in the full definition of the word. I love you so much. I believe in your ministry. Give us your website one more time, Rabbi.
Yeah, go to Curt Landry, C-U-R-T, www.curtlandry.com.
You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we want to say to you and remind you that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly.